absolute power corrupts absolutely. Ow.
With the Rev Fantasy, this is the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. And like you always hear me say, this is the place to be if you want to talk to Rev and me. We got a great show in store for you tonight. Today, I should say, this morning. We got the AFC and NFC Championship for the rights to go to the Super Bowl from each conference. We got some NFL players that are definitely in some trouble. You got some a soon-to-be top, probably top three pick, maybe could be the top first pick, talking a little too much, boasting himself up a little too much. We got a owner of the NBA saying thank you for the fine, Commissioner Stern, among other things. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this, and we'll be right back. Ow. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Anyway. How you doing, Mr. Red Fantasy? How you been, my man?
What's up, brother? Hey, I'm amped up, man. It's championship week in the NFL, and don't get no better than this, man. My motor's revved up, ready to go.
Uh-oh. As in Rev Fantasy, you're revved up, huh? Okay. No, that's no big deal. Like I was saying, like we talked about, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it today on this show, is that there's some things happening in the NFL, and I know I talked to you off-air about some of them, that are absolutely crazy. It never is a dull moment. I mean, even if the guys are in the NFL or out of the NFL, they see, and see, some of these guys you think are intelligent or have the common sense, not, I don't think so. The first thing I want to go over, my man, is this. And I talked about it briefly to you yesterday, and I'm going to talk about it again. And I think he's going to be soon former NFL analyst on the NFL Network. I'm talking about Darren Sharper, formerly of the Minnesota Vikings and recently formerly of the New Orleans Saints. He was, and you know what? I got an update. I got an update on this. This guy, Darren Sharper, was arrested Friday for suspicion of rape. And he also was arrested earlier in the month for another suspicion of rape, and he also has another rape charge or assault charge or sexually assault charge that's pending in Louisiana. Now, I'm not saying that he's got, like I said, he's got three separate sexual assaults in the last, what, 4 months, 4 or 5 months? This guy comes off at, it's not, and trust me, I'm all heterosexual here, but this guy's a nice-looking guy. seems like he's got a pretty good disposition on the air and the NFL Network. But October was the first one. And then quite naturally recently, in the last month, he has two more. And he faces a February 14th court date for the most recent one, which he got arrested and booked on Friday. And it, quite naturally, the NFL Network suspended him indefinitely without pay, which is, you know, that's standard protocol without dispute. You know what? And I hate to be the judge and jury right away, but one, you can. I wouldn't say you can blow it off, but you're not confident that it's nothing more than a money grab. Two, now you start scratching your head and saying, now, well, what's going on here? And at three, you're like, well, if it walks like a duck, it looks like a duck, and it speaks like a duck, you know what the rest of that is. Talk to me, man. What do you think about Darren Sharper? Three separate sexual assaults since October. Talk to me.
Yeah, man. Hey, look, for one, I'm never one to jump the gun too much. And, a lot of people are quick to fly at people. I like to let it play out in the judicial system. But in this case, like you said, man, this guy can't be too bright. Three times within you're talking like a 6 month window, less than a 6 month window, and three separate incidents. Yeah, man. You always hear where there's smoke, there's fire, and I think this guy, regardless, he's done as an analyst on the NFL Network. But like you said, he can't be too bright. Putting himself in these situations, hopefully, God willing, he learns from this, and hopefully there isn't nothing. It ain't looking too good for my man, Derek Sharper.
I don't know what more you could say. I mean, like I said, this guy is not a bad-looking guy. I mean, and he seems like he's got a pretty good disposition and personality. I don't understand. I maybe the dark side people don't see off camera that he has, and I'm not saying he does, but maybe it's the dark side people don't see, and is a serious genetic flaw in his make. I don't know. I don't know. Like you said, you have to see it play out, but wow. Come on,
this
man.
This guy was pretty solid, NFL player. It seems like a lot of times we read these stories about ex-NFL players. I don't know if it's just they got too much idle time on their behalf, or they just, the thrill of, being able to come out there on Sundays and playing is gone, so that it needs to be replaced by something. I just don't get it with this guy. Like you said, good-looking dude. I'm pretty sure he isn't lacking in the ladies department. And to be brought up, I have a little background in these kind of situations, working with sexual assaults and sexual harassment. That's kind of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to me, you could put yourself as a millionaire, because this guy's got millions of dollars playing in the NFL. And how can you put yourself in those situations? It makes me think back to how Ben Roethlisberger was a couple years ago,
Right.
Mm-hmm. He just put himself in bad situations. And I'm like, in his situation, I'm like, you got millions of dollars, you're a franchise quarterback. Of course you're a target. If you ain't thinking that, then you're setting yourself up for a kill shot,
Right.
And, yeah, this guy, Dennis Harper, I just don't get it. It makes no sense to me. And, I don't know, maybe, some rapists, like you said, they need to replace that thrill. And, maybe playing on Sundays, and maybe this is his way of replacing, you know, the thrill of playing on Sundays, you know.
Yeah. All right. Now, from that bizarre incidents, I should say, to another one. Now, this guy used to play for the Miami Dolphins. He had little issues here and there from the Dolphins, and he moved on from the Dolphins, and the Cleveland Browns picked this guy up. And he played for the Cleveland Browns until, I think, the 13th or 14th game of the season. And allegedly, this guy was put in a mental institution by his against his will by his family members back in March of 2013. And he recently got arrested, and in a bizarre incident on Saturday, okay, he got arrested again, okay? Let me put it this way. He on Friday, he got arrested for assault of a police officer, and supposedly it was a PSA agent, if I'm not mistaken. And PSA agents, in my opinion, or from what I understand, are federal. They're not.
Right. You're
they're
right.
They're not federal. They're local. They're not local police. They're federal. So he put himself into a bind there, and then he posted photos on social media suggesting marijuana use. And on Saturday morning, police in Miami responded on Saturday morning to an incident involving Bess at the Marriott in Heron Bay. And police describe it as a medical call with no arrest made. Also on Saturday morning, Devon Bess, this is a wide receiver formerly from the Cleveland Browns, Bess tweeted a photo of himself standing naked in front of a mirror. Now, back in March 2013, he was put in a mental hospital against his will, like I said, by his family. This guy, in my opinion, got some serious medical issues. Mental issues, I should say. Not medical, I mean mental issues. And still steadily spiraling downhill because of the ganja man, because he happened to be a Rastafarian. And God knows what other drugs besides pot he's taken. We had this before with, I'm trying to think who the player was, Titus Young of the Detroit Lions.
Right.
That had mental issues. It happened to be another wide receiver. I don't know if it's in the genes of a wide receiver. I don't know if it's the ego. I don't know, man. I don't know. But you got these young kids coming into this league. Now, Devon Bess has been around quite a little longer than Titus Young. But you got these kids coming in here and wilding out, not being able, it seems like they can't handle the pressure. And when they get off the field and off season, they get absolutely stupid and buck wild. And if they start taking some of these drugs, it starts to burn out the common sense genes, common sense cells in their freaking brain. And like this family of Devon Bess, they put him in his mental hospital for mental issues. Matt, talk to me. Make me have some kind of semblance of what the hell is going on here with these guys, these young guys, getting into trouble and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, you got Darren Sharpie; he's a seasoned veteran. And now you got Devon Bess. He's not going to be playing for the NFL anytime soon. He's got mental issues, and he's got drug issues. Talk to me, man.
Yeah, it's that hot fire. I don't know, man, what the deal is with these cats nowadays, these young dudes. And you know what's mind-blowing about this situation, JT, is when he was playing with the Dolphins 2 years ago, this year playing for Cleveland, his last year in 2012 with the Dolphins, this guy has a career year, he voted the 2012 Dolphins Player of the Year for his community service. And now we're talking a year and a half later, this guy's freaking on, he's on the, you know, the railroad tracks of the damn Lulu Hospital because he's smoking that ganja and freaking taking nude pictures of himself. And I don't get it, man. It does sound very familiar to possibly like the Titus Young, like we talked about Titus Young, that multi-personality. And I just wish Ty's other personality would show up on Sundays and catch a damn ball for the Browns. That's what personality I wish would show up. I'm a Browns fan, mm-hmm. and this guy was going to be a perfect fit for their system, you know, coming off a good year with Miami, and he just failed to produce when on the field. And I think it's just like we talk about, man, young guys, money, and time is just a, you know, you can have, you know, someone who's rotten to the core. Money's not going to change that. All it's going to do is compound that issue with them, and this looks to be another case that we sad. But yeah, this is where we are. You know, Jared, the game ain't changed, just the players. You know, over the last 30 years. You know, so that's the way I look at it, man. The game ain't changed, only the player.
Yeah, and it's a shame. It's a real shame that I mean, now I'm not saying he's an all-pro or anything, but he's got some type of ability, and he stayed around in the NFL, even though he's with his second team, but he's still got some playmaking ability, in my opinion. And I don't understand. I mean, you got the whole world in front of you, and you just blow it.
You're smoking it up.
You just blow it. I mean,
going up in smoke, literally.
I should say I'm at a loss for words, but it makes you know, and I like to think that these teams. One of the things, if I'm not mistaken, that these teams do when they draft a player, or even if they're trading for a player or whatever, they do their due diligence on the player, whether he's got the psychological issues. They do a psychological test on him, or something like that. Plus, they do other random things, talking to a player that they're interested in, meaning if they go into the draft. Or they do their due diligence if they're going to draft a player, so they're not drafting somebody that's going to have issues like this. I mean, not draft, but a trade for a player that has issues like this. I mean, true. Every system has a flaw, and nothing's perfect. But you would have to think that there may have been some warning signs that a team would pick up. And I'm not faulting the Cleveland Browns, but I'm saying that some warning signs, either from the team or the team medical staff, or just by chance on hearsay, from the team's security team or NFL security team, that stay away from this kid because he's got issues, and he's best served. Or this is how you handle these issues if you're going to either trade for this guy or if you're going to draft this kid.
Right.
So I it boggles my mind that a kid can go from one team to the other, and some of them straighten themselves out and turn their career around. And some of them do the exact opposite. And speaking of turning a career around, I want to talk about a guy that was definitely on a downward spiral in his career. And just by changing a team, and it happened to be the right team. It has to be the right team, otherwise he'll continue his downward spiral. And I do believe that in short order, this kid would probably have been out of the league. But because he went to the team that he is now, he's turned his life around. He's turned his career around. And a quote from his says, "I wasn't really in the NFL until I was in New England." And I'm talking about Aqib Talib. He divides his pro football career into two parts. The first 4.5 years in Tampa Bay when he was playing for an organization where he wasn't particularly happy. And then after November 1st, 2012, the day he was traded to New England. A quote from him, he says, "I've been in the NFL since 2008, but I've really been in the NFL since November of 2012. His other quote is this, "It's totally different here. It's big game after big game. It's Monday nights after Sunday nights. Tom Brady is walking around here. There are countless people and media in the locker room. This is the NFL right here." And it sounds like, and I'll say this last sentence on this article, it sounds like a man who hopes to play in New England for a long time. Now, we just talked about two guys, one a former NFL player, one a current NFL player, one with sexual assault charges over his head, another with looked like drug and mental issues, and they moved on to different phases of their career and life. Devon Best going from Miami to Cleveland, Darren Sharper from Minnesota to New Orleans, now an NFL network analyst, or former, soon to be former NFL analyst. But the point is, these three guys moved on from where they originated in the NFL, and two of them on a downward spiral, in my opinion. And this guy, who was on a downward spiral until he moved to a team that made sense to him, and he excelled on that team. How can I say it? That's the thing about the NFL. You never know when a guy moves on, regardless if it's in his career or after his career, how it's going to play out. This guy was definitely a problem, and habitual problem, off the field and on the field. He's turned his life around. He's in New England since 2012, and he's nothing but a model citizen and been an outstanding player at everything they expected to him in New England. New England, talk to me, man.
I mean, this is one of those situations you kind of compare to maybe Ray Lewis's story, a guy who, you know, was drafted really high and playing on a bad team. And this guy, this story is crazy. You know this story, JT, right? Him and his mother were indicted on murder charges, or homicide,
right.
Committing homicide.
Right. Right.
That's crazy, you know?
Yep.
And
yep.
Him to be standing where he's at now, it's truly a testament to, really, it speaks in volumes of the Patriots' culture and the way they do business.
Yep.
And like I said, if you hang with trash, my parents used to say, if you hang with trash and begin to smell, and I just think the New England Patriots, they don't have people that smell. You know, they got some. You don't see people on the Patriots getting arrested for doing crazy stuff. Now we've had isolated incidents where you had, you know, Aaron Hernandez. I think
right.
Aaron Hernandez. I think this guy was a turd from the time he was, you know, born. This guy was just a bad dude. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
one isolated incident doesn't make, you know, the culture that that locker room. And it just proves it when you bring someone into the fold with veteran leadership and someone to mentor and coach somebody, not only on the field but off the field, and just provide leadership in someone's life, what someone can do. You know, everybody who gets drafted in the NFL has talent. There's no question
right.
about that. What separates individuals in the NFL, the Hall of Famers, the All-Pros from Joe Burrow football player, is the mental aspect of things and the what they do off the field, you know, their work ethic, surrounding themselves with the right people, doing business the right way. I applaud, you know, this situation here, and I give all credit to the New England Patriots. But let me throw something back on to you, JT. Did you hear this story this past week? I just heard it on the news up here in the Pacific Northwest yesterday, driving to dinner, about Geno Smith. Did you hear this story?
No, what about Geno Smith?
My man Geno. My man Geno's getting on a plane and on Virgin Atlantic. He's flying. They go to take off, so they ask my man to get off his cell phone, no electronic devices. He proceeds to tell the flight attendant that he's not going to get off his phone. Begins arguing with the flight attendant. The captain comes back and tells him he's going to be escorted off the plane. First thing he does is gets off the plane and he claims racism and saying they're targeting me because I'm black. I don't know, JT.
Wow.
That just tells me right there, one, this guy, he was already kind of questionably, you know, coming into the NFL. People were talking about this guy. Is he smart? You know, does he just have the intellect to be a leader? And this just shows me right here that the New York Jets, it's one incident, but it's you got to be smart, man. If you're the franchise quarterback on New York Jets and you're getting kicked off a flight for talking on your cell phone, and then the first thing you do is you turn the cameras and say, and to the police and say, you're targeting me because I'm black. That just makes me question his decision-making. And just like we said, his decision-making. The guy can't make a damn decision on the football field. He threw more damn picks than he threw touchdowns. So it just tells me this guy ain't too bright, man. Your thoughts?
Well, you're absolutely right. And when you were talking, I Googled this, and I read the article, and I'm like, come on, man. You're right. Being a franchise quarterback, regardless of if you are with the Jets or any franchise, all eyes are on you. Okay, everything that you do is magnified, and especially if you're a New York team. And you're quarterback of that New York team, it's magnified even more. And to come off because you were on your cell phone and they told you to get off your cell phone three times and you refused, and then they escorted you off the plane, and the first thing you shout out is racism. It's like, come on, man. Come on. Come on. I mean, like you said, the decision-making process and your thought process is flawed, and right away, he tried to sway, looked like he tried to sway or intimidate him through that racist accusation. That you just can't throw that out callously. You just can't throw that out because you're not getting your way. And the fact is that. That's something that every flight attendant or every flight asks you to do to get off your electronic devices or cell phones. So it's not like it's anything new and unique to you. Everybody is subject to that, regardless of who they look like and what their ethnic background is. So you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right, and the fact is, you know, the organization and it, you know, even though they may say we are aware of the report and are researching the facts, we will have no comment at the time. That's one of the quotes that the Jets spokesman said. I guarantee you, they're making a mental note of this. They're checking this and writing this down and analyzing this. Is this the guy we want heading our team and to be the face of the franchise? Quite naturally, they're going to look for somebody else anyway. I mean, that's going without saying. Everybody knows that. They're going to be looking for another quarterback. Not to say that he's not the quarterback, but just to have that carrot over his head, saying that we do have another quarterback competing for the job, so you better be on your P's and Q's, whatever you do.
I tell you that the guy who's smiling the most is Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, you can believe it because he's never been in any off field incident that I can recall. So you're right about that. You're right about that. So I mean, who knows? Maybe the year off may have done him some good to just sit back and look and see and bring in take in everything that's been going on the field and off the field, and he's got a better perspective when he comes back in 2014. But you never know what direction that franchise is going to go in. But that I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't know about that, and it's very interesting what's going to happen. Not in this incident, but what's just going to happen with Geno Smith on the Jets, if he's going to be a backup, if they bring in somebody, or is he going to take the next step and be a better quarterback, and hopefully an incident like this or similar incidents, off-field incidents, don't happen. Then right away you start setting up red flags if these things start piling up.
All right.
Let's move on to another NFL player that thinks very highly of himself, extremely highly of himself. I mean, everybody thinks this guy's going to go in the top three of the draft. I'm talking about, I don't know if you heard this one or not, but Jadeveon Clowney, the outstanding offensive lineman from the University of South Carolina, came out, and I'm going to read this article from ProFootballTalk.com. And the headline on the article said, Clowney vows to put on an amazing scouting combine. Top prospects often decline to run at the scouting combine. But South Carolina defensive end Jadeveon Clowney said he plans to put on a show. Clowney likely would have been the first overall pick in the 2013 draft if not for the NFL's rule requiring players to be at least 3 years out of high school before entering the draft. And although his draft stock may have slipped slightly in the last year, he is still considered very high pick this year, and Clowney told Josh Kendall of the State that he wants to cement his status as a top pick, so he will participate in all drills at the combine where he expects to light it up. The numbers I am going to put up are going to be amazing. That's a quote from Jadeveon Clowney. 6'6", 274 pounds, and claims he can run a 4.46 40. If Clowney could do that at the combine, it really would be amazing. Now, I can't recall. Now, I could be mistaken, but I can't recall a defensive lineman, maybe a DB, maybe a running back, especially a DB, as cocky a lot of DBs are. And I'm not stereotyping, but that's the nature of the position. I've never heard a defensive lineman come out with such braggadocio and say that he's going to put on a show and amaze those that are at the combine. Now, I don't know if this sends up a red flag. I understand this guy has a lot of confidence, but it could be a way bit overconfidence, way bit too cocky for me. For the simple fact he's setting himself up for a big letdown if he doesn't perform supposedly in what he claims he can do. He's not even in the NFL yet. But he's talking a lot of smack like he's a seasoned vet. Talk to me, man. I'm amazed.
Well, again. Hey, I'm kind of against you on this one, man. I think, you know, this guy is you got to look at the person. This guy's a freak athlete, like just a fierce. No other way of describing this guy. As freakishly has skills. His skill set is very unique. It's something that we probably haven't seen coming out of college in a long time, you know. Since the days of Lawrence Taylor or guys in that aspect. And you're talking about a guy who plays defensive tackle. You know, this guy, I agree with, I mean, I've been known, the Rev's been known to talk a little smack, you know, in my day. And the reason I do that, it elevates my game. You know, it always elevates me and makes me put on my best effort. So maybe this is how he gets off, you know, and this is how he pushes himself by giving himself, put pressure on himself and hyping himself up. But I tell you, this guy is going to be an animal in the NFL. I expect it. I think at the combine, he's going to tear it up. I was thinking that before he even came out and said that. Because just a pure athlete, one thing a lot of people don't know about this guy is he was an all-state sprinter. He was on a 4x100 state winning freaking team. And this guy can run. For as big as he is, he can run. There's no doubt about that. He's a freak. He's probably going to kill it. Bench pressing 225, he'll probably put up monster numbers, running, jumping. And I don't really buy in too much to the combine, but I just think, I just want you to ponder this thought, JT. Think about Houston's position with the first pick. Do they go quarterback? Do you take a Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles? Or do you pass up on this freakish athlete that you could put a defensive tackle and pair him with J.J. Watt and think how much that even makes J.J. Watt better? And we're talking about the defensive player of the year. You know, you put two of those guys at defensive tackle, that changes. I don't give a damn if you got Matt Schaub at quarterback. I think they can score enough points on defense to win games, you know. So if I'm the Texans, I'm entertaining drafting this guy with the first pick. I would definitely, if I was a GM, I would probably draft him. Doesn't seem like he has any character issues other than some cockiness and I think he was just recently arrested for speeding, but
more than once.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get drafted first in the NFL, someone will be driving him around everywhere he goes. So, so
you would think so.
Yeah, you would think so, and so I just think there's nothing wrong with it. The guy, he's just like we said. His skill set is so unique that there's than no one I can think of in recent history that reminds me of this guy coming out.
Okay. Well, I just think he's setting this up, setting himself up for a big letdown. And I do agree with you. I do agree with you. Me being a Houston Texans fan, I do agree with you that this is the guy they should take. They should take this guy definitely, and then draft in the second round, draft a quarterback. Now, there's just a few quarterbacks out there that I do like, but I really like Jadeveon Clowney to pair up, like you said, with J.J. Watt. And for those guys going up against the offense, I wouldn't want to be the quarterback of the offense, let me put it that way, to have these two freakish athletes going up every down against your offensive line. It's a nightmare, and that's just those two guys. I mean, we still have the other linemen and the linebackers that they would have to contend with, but it would increase the effectiveness of the Houston defense to have another pass rusher and another, freak athlete on a defensive line to improve the pass rush. And then you can go along in the second round, like I say, and pick up a quarterback, that a real winning quarterback that I like a lot, that I think he would be effective in the NFL. It was A.J. McCarron from Alabama. So, I mean, I think he's not going to go in the first round. I think he's a second or third round pick. And right there, I mean, you address both issues, that one of the two issues that you have. You need another quarterback. You're looking for another quarterback. You need another quarterback. Or even go, if you can find a veteran, a viable veteran, to be a quarterback. But, like you said, he's a freakish athlete. You don't have those guys come around that often. That's the reason why the big debate when Charlie Casserly was the GM, everybody thought he did a dumb move when he went and took Mario Williams instead of taking everybody's consensus first pick, which was Reggie Bush. Turns out the best pick was Mario Williams, even though he's not with the Texans anymore. But he was the better of the two players, I feel. Reggie Bush is holding his own, but it's been taking a while. Mario Williams, from the start, was a great player. So we'll see what happens. But I do agree with you. Jadeveon Clowney should be the first pick of the Houston Texans. And I'm anxious to see when the combine comes up next month after the Super Bowl, what happens and how he performs. I'll make sure naturally he's going to be plastered all over the NFL Network every chance they get to showcase what Jadeveon Clowney said he's going to do. So we'll see what happens. All right, let's move on. We got about 17 minutes left in the show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. If you want to call in and talk to Revan or myself, let's talk about the owner from the Dallas Mavericks, the all-Maverick Mark Cuban, who's always had a very good relationship, a buddy-buddy relationship with his commissioner, Commissioner David Stern, who's due to retire come February 1st of this year. Mark Cuban, okay, had told the commissioner a few days ago that he wanted the commissioner to fine him. He said, fine him one more time before he retires because of the on Saturday. Cuban, not Saturday, but last week, the Mavericks were playing the Los Angeles. I keep on thinking San Diego. It's the Los Angeles Clippers, and scored they lost the game, and the Mavericks blew a 17-point lead, and he called a foul on one of the Clippers players. One of the Dallas Mavericks players, and a controversial foul. And Jamal Crawford scored the go-ahead points on the free throws. And Cuban was critical of the referees right after the game, and also tweeted several things about the commissioner, and quite naturally, this is not the first time or the last time, probably the last time, that Cuban had publicly questioned the officiating or the ins and outs or goings-on in the NBA. And so he said, fine me. I don't care. You just fine me. So the commissioner obliged him. On Saturday, he got fined $100,000 for confronting officials on the court and directing inappropriate language toward them at the conclusion of the Mavericks' loss, which was 129-127, which was this past Wednesday. And like I said, it was against the Los Angeles Clippers. 20th time that he has been publicly assessed a fine. His fines have cost Cuban $1.9 million. $1.9 million that Cuban has been assessed, including 14 fines that were the result of criticizing officials or interacting with them in ways the NBA deemed inappropriate. Mark Cuban, he's one of the youngest owners. He's one of the Maverick owners, not afraid to speak his mind at any time, and doesn't care if he gets fired or not. He's still going to speak his mind. I don't know how well he's received in the owner's room when they get together, but he's made millions upon millions, and is very outspoken on protecting his team. So your thoughts, my man, about Mr. Mark Cuban and his outspokenness and his great rapport with David Stern over the years.
Yeah, I mean, this situation, JT, it's funny because he set this up. You know, he set it up prior to doing it, saying that he would love to get just fined one more time as a party gift. And this just proves to me you got too much money on your hands. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to throw away $100,000, $1.9 million over the last 15 years that he's owned the team, that's preposterous to me. It's just, but you got to, I mean, he used to be a firecracker back in the day, but you got to appreciate what this guy's done. I lived in the Dallas area back then. You couldn't give those tickets away. Nobody wanted to go watch these guys. They stunk it up. And slowly through the draft and trade and actually put money into the facilities there, he's made a winning culture there, and he's turned that the whole franchise around. But Mark Cuban, giving $100,000, he just wanted to give the parting gift to David Stern to get fined just because their relationship over the years has been, you know, one of those check on high things. I think they get along and they see each other from a business perspective and on a league perspective what to do. But he's such a firecracker that he used to put himself in a lot of bad situations. But I think it's funny, the story. It's a real funny situation. And it just proves to me, you know, players, when they have too much money and too much time, they're getting in trouble. You got these billionaires that buy teams when they – you got too much money. This is another prime example of people doing stupid stuff. They just want to give $100,000 away, I guess. $100,000 ain't nothing to Mark Cuban. I just wish he would help me out and pay off my bills. So if you want to give me $100,000, that'll help me out a lot.
Yep. So, I hear you.
That's just crazy to me.
I hear you. I had to talk about him going to the NBA, but I wanted to talk about another thing. And this is close to home to you, man. This is real close to home. And I'm going back to the NFL because you're sitting out here on an island, and I got to talk about this because getting bad vibes and bad things in print media that nobody wants this job. I'm going to read a short article here that's on ProFootballTalk.com. Report Browns want second interview with Dan Quinn. The Browns are the only NFL team without a head coach. It seems that their timetable for changing that is going to have a lot to do with the availability of assistants in Sunday's conference championship games. Their interest in Broncos offensive coordinator Adam Gase has been known for a while, but Gase opted not to take any interviews until after the Denver season came to an end. Reports now indicate that Gase is leaning toward not interviewing at all, which may lead the Browns back to a coach they've already interviewed. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reports that the Browns are interested in a second interview with Seahawks defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, who interviewed with the Cleveland with Cleveland during Seattle's bye week in the playoffs. Per Rappaport, there's a mutual interest in that Kyle Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, Mike Mularkey are potential offensive coordinators if Quinn does not wind up with a job in Cleveland. Several candidates interviewed by the Browns have either taken other jobs or withdrawn their names from consideration. Those that haven't included Bills defensive coordinator Mike Pettine, former Titans head coach Mike Munchak, and Cowboys special teams coach Rich Bashika. Anyway, and also, Josh McDaniel was up for a interview, and then he backed off and declined to get interviewed by the Browns. You're a Browns fan. They got rid of Mike Munchak because he wouldn't fire some of his close friends and coaches, position coaches or offense or whatever coaches that he wouldn't fire, so they relieved him of his head coaching duties. You got guys supposedly declining to get interviewed, turning down an interview. Cleveland Browns need a quarterback, need a head coach, along with the two offensive and defensive coordinators who went to different teams. I'm saying they're a mess. Your thoughts?
I mean, I think Ray Charles will see what's going on, and he's dead and blind. So, you know, this situation pisses me off. It really makes me upset because they have talent on the team. That team had talent. Defensively,
yep.
They're solid. They're not great. But with a great defensive coordinator like they had, they were playing some ball the first half of the year. And Will Turner was a solid. They put up numbers offensively, you know.
Yep.
You know, with limited the guys they had on offense. So that just tells me it's bad ownership. You know, it's bad, you know, just everybody up at in the upper ranks up in that organization. But we can back it up all the way to when they came back in the league, JT, back in, I want to say, was it 1999, 2000?
Mm-hmm.
When the Browns came back after being out of the league, when the team moved to Baltimore and the Browns came back after like 2 years of being out. It just shows the incompetence over the last 13 years. They haven't gotten it right in 13 years. You know, look at the way they've drafted for the last 13 years. I can only think of like two players on that team that have been consistent over a period of time. Joe Hayden being drafted like 3 years ago, and now he's an all-pro. And you got Joe Thomas, poor guy, their left tackle, who's, if your tackle is the face of your franchise, that tells you got issues. If your offensive tackle is the face of your franchise.
Mm-hmm.
He's been all pro for 7-8 years now. And I wouldn't want to play for the Browns. If I was a Browns player, it's disheartening because you're always going, it's kind of the abuse factor, you know what I mean? You're always,
yeah.
They're always starting over. So where's the continuity? Where's the opportunity to grow as a player? As an organization, it's never there. I don't blame none of these guys that interviewed for the coaching seat. I wouldn't want to coach there either. Why? Because you know, once you have a bad year, you're done. They're going to fire you. It's kind of like working for Al Davis over the last, you know, 15 years, you know, out in Oakland. It's ridiculous, you know, what's going on there. And it's sad because the fan base there is supportive. And they come out to watch a losing team year after year after year. The state of Ohio's, but it's, you know, it's on the decline. The city of Cleveland's on the decline for numerous years now, and it's just they need a ray of hope, man. They need just like I said, it's the abuse factor. How long are you gonna just keep kicking, you know, getting abused and just getting kicked while you're down? At some point, you're going to have to stand up for what's right and do what's right. And it starts with ownership. They got a new owner. And this guy, as soon as he buys a team, there's
allegations that this guy might be, he's in a federal probe for money, Ponzi's and all this other stuff with his companies. And it just never stops with the Cleveland Browns, man. It just never stops. And I never thought that I would say the Cleveland Browns are the worst franchise in the NFL. But it just seems like, to me, there's no light at the end of the tunnel with these guys. And I just don't, I don't understand where they're going, the direction they're going. And I'm praying, man. I'm really praying for God takes me off this earth that I might see the Browns actually do something. And I'm not holding my breath on it, though. They're making it very difficult for this, the way they draft. They pull the plug on, you know, quarterbacks. They give them 1-2 years, and then they're quick to pull the plug on them. And it's kind of, you could compare their quarterback situation to kind of like Alex Smith out there in San Francisco. 8 years, the guy had 7 different coordinators. So, and then now you look at the guy, you know, he's a solid pro. He's had some consistency in the system. I just say you hire one coach, you give him 3-4 years to implement his system with his guys, draft some players. People now in the NFL are quick to want results now. What happens if you look in history of NFL, great quarterbacks are the guys who sat and watched a Tom Brady, you know, Aaron Rodgers, a prime example, a Kaepernick out in San Francisco. You know, not everybody is built to come in and just carry a franchise right from the start. It's too much pressure. You need to have a stopgap. You need someone that can tutelage and coach, teach and mentor young players. So, and Cleveland they just keep getting it wrong, man. It's sad. It's really sad, man. It breaks my heart. So, that's all I have to say about it, man. But all I'm saying, if I ever see the Cleveland ownership out on the streets, man, the Revs are going to take off my, I'm not going to be so reverend-like if I ever meet them guys out in the streets. So,
well, and I hate to beat a dead horse, but when you stop and think about the coaching staff that had in place before they totally obliterated this past season and this off season, they had North Turner. They had Ray Horton as a defensive coordinator, which is a hell of a combination of an offensive and defensive coordinator, and Rod Krasinski. It looked like this franchise was in the makings of making some progress, and they completely blew it up, pissed off the two offensive coordinators. They didn't want anything to do with what was going on there, Ray Horton and North Turner, and because the head coach didn't agree with what the management wanted to do about getting rid of some coaches. So he decided it's me or it's me and my staff or it's not me, and they decided to blow it all up and start all over again. I mean, that is like, now you have to wonder about Josh Gordon. You have to wonder about Jordan Cameron, which was a standout offensive guys that the Cleveland Browns had. You have to really wonder about these guys now because you're going to bring in a offensive and defensive coordinator along with a head coach that may have a different philosophy, different way of doing things. You don't have a running back or a quarterback. So essentially you're starting from scratch again. And like you said, the players that are there now are going to be extremely discouraged about what the hell are we doing here. I thought we were making some progress. I'm looking at a player perspective. We're making progress, and you blow it up. I mean, somebody get me out of here. Talking to his agent, get me out of here. This is crazy. And we do have a caller that just called in at the last minute. We'll bring him in and welcome him to the show. Welcome, my man. How you doing, Vic?
I'm doing spectacular. I want to give all praises due to the Lord, Reverend Fantasy. You need to get into your scripture. You need to study Ephesians chapter 3, verse 27. The ATM, you need to spit out some money because I'm up here in Reno, and I need some cash. So let's get down to business. First of all, I'm going to get an opportunity sometime today to interview 49ers legend Keenan Turner. He's downstairs selling autographed memorabilia along with Oakland Raiders. I believe the outside linebacker number 60 from way back when. He's like in your era, Jerry, but he's a Hall of Famer as well.
Number 60?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember his number, but they're downstairs and they're selling memorabilia in the food court slash casino area. But sometime today I'm going to get an opportunity to talk to both of them. So that's my agenda while I'm out here. But to get on topic of what you guys are talking about, two things. I see Cleveland doing either Teddy Bridgewater or Johnny Manziel with their draft pick, okay? They're going to bring in some excitement to rejuvenate the fan base because I haven't heard any news. I don't know if they fired a coach or anything like that, but Johnny Manziel or Teddy Bridgewater will be the new quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. If it's Bridgewater, we can look and see that Cameron Jordan as well as Josh Gordon maintaining their productivity. If it's Manziel, you can say that it'll be a little more Josh Gordon because he likes the tall, rangy receivers. He doesn't really throw to his tight end. He doesn't use a tight end in college, so it'll be a brand new type of system for him. But I see that being the case in Cleveland. In other worldly news, Norv going to Minnesota is going to help Minnesota greatly. Mike Zimmerman has a rapport with him. He was on the same staff when they were in Dallas, so that's a good thing. Zimmerman handles the defense. Norv handles the offense with all the weapons he has. All Norv needs now is a capable quarterback, and you'll believe me when I tell you that they're Minnesota will be getting one, but they don't have a first-round pick, if I'm not mistaken, this year because they traded it last year to get those that great talent they got. So they'll get one in the second round. And trust me, there'll be plenty in the second round. Along with that, there was something else I was going to talk about today. Oh, yeah, AFC-NFC championship games. Now, I'm in this Nevada territory where last night I learned that Colin Kaepernick used to come to this particular casino all the time. He wouldn't play, but his teammates would be over there playing, and he would go ahead and watch them play. And he would go to this Filipino group and get all those tattoos because it's the Filipino tattoo place out here that did all his tats. And there's some Seahawks fans, and they are getting treated very rudely as they walk through the casino. So I think,
yeah, is that right?
They should get treated like crap.
Well Kaepernick, Kaepernick is University of Nevada football player, so.
Yeah,
loyal to the football players.
I see that. But today is a wonderful day because, you know, this place is all abuzz because of that. I mean, that's what I was getting to. This is the Kaepernick capital, pretty much, and everybody here is going to be glued to a TV watching that game, either at the bar or in the casino. And
your wife going to let you?
Today is the actual anniversary, and she hasn't gotten my anniversary gift, so I should be watching whatever it is I want to watch. She take the kids, whatever she's going to take them.
Hey, okay, no, JT.
I told her from one to six is my time. You dig? It's my time. I put my foot down.
Okay.
You know. Because, you know, it's me, it's Mr. FSP. And stop trying to be a little, you know, instigator, ATM. Just spit out my money. Now, I got another question here. I'm not trying to take y'all off topic or go too far in overtime. But I got a challenge. I got a challenge. My challenge is to the Reverend. Now, Jerry says that I suck. Jerry says I suck at fantasy baseball.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To a point, shut up. To a point, I do. But I'm getting all of the podcasters, all of our hosts, that have a set to play. And I'm inviting you, Rev, take your little allowance money, because I know we both get allowances. Don't be ashamed. We both get allowances. Take a little bit of your allowance money. It's only $75. Slap it down on the table and play some fantasy baseball with us this year. I'm prepping it now, ladies and gentlemen. If you go to spotonradio.com or if you go to spotonradio.webs.com or fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll be able to purchase one of your fantasy baseball teams and play against myself, the ATM, and how about it, Rev? Are you down the clown?
You already know the deal. I might have to save my lunch money up for a couple weeks. For our listeners out there, yeah, they don't call me the Rev, Rev Fancy, for no reason. I've earned my due, and I play baseball. I've won my share of baseball. So for all our listeners out there, yes, I accept the challenge, and I, one of my idols always used to tell me, bring it. That's what I say, bring it.
Okay, and you self-proclaimed yourself as Rare Fantasy. They don't call you Rare Fantasy. You called yourself that. We just kept on doing it. But that's good. That's three of the hosts in the league, and we'll have several more to come. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm staying away from basketball. I don't care about basketball. I'll let Jerry talk about basketball. I'm getting ready for baseball. As I prepare, if I do a show, I'm going to start talking about baseball after this Super Bowl. I don't care about nothing else except the UFC, baseball, and maybe that old sport boxing, maybe.
All I can tell you is you can talk baseball till you're blue in the face. You can talk straight baseball, concentrate, or put all your focus on baseball. At the end of the day, come September, at the end of the season, you're still going to suck at fantasy baseball. You're still going to suck.
Thanks for the confidence.
At fantasy baseball.
Thanks for the confidence.
Well, not confidence.
ETM.
Victor, before I jumped into your league, and I'll say it again, before I jumped into your league, you know, and this is gospel. This is not just me talking. This is honest truth, what I'm saying. You came to me several times when you were in this league before I joined it to ask me your opinion, and I told you sucked at fantasy baseball before I even got into your league because the fact is your philosophy sucks, and your decision making on players suck because. Truthfully, and this is a God honest truth. I love you like a brother, but you have no foresight in your players. You have no foresight in your players. That's the problem.
That's what I think about it.
That's the problem. You have no foresight in your players, and that is the reason why you perform so poorly every season in fantasy baseball. Every season.
This is my intervention. This is my intervention, ladies and gentlemen. I'm having a fantasy baseball intervention.
Yes, you started early today.
Plus, the fact is that I don't know. Plus the fact that when you go on name only and. Your philosophy, to tell the truth, and I've told you before, your philosophy in drafting is horrible.
Whatever.
to put it plain and simple. And you haven't changed. You haven't changed from the time I wasn't in the league until I joined the league. You have not changed.
Yes,
and,
I have. Be quiet. I've lost since you joined the league.
Let me put it this way. Did you improve from last year to this year? And if it was, it was very minimal.
Well, I tell you like this. I tell you like this, JT. If you go to my Yahoo profile, fantasy profile, you'll see that I finished second and third a few times in fantasy baseball. I haven't won a baseball championship, but I have finished second and third. So,
what was that in a 4-team league?
Oh, for real?
Again, give him the ball.
That's right. I'm going to hurt y'all. But anyway, y'all finish.
Well, let me put it this way. We have a clean slate. If Ref Fantasy gets in the same league that we are in, he'll see for himself whether you are a viable opponent in fantasy baseball or not. That's all I can say.
I'll put it this way. If we have 12 owners, we're going to have 4 divisions, and all 3 of us will be in the same division. And may the best FFP win.
Victor, you don't want that. Victor, why put yourself through that self-humiliation? Why do that?
I'm going to hurt all of you very badly because I am a winner and you are losers. I'm like Ric Flair and I don't know. You're like George Animal Steel.
Answer me this. The 4 years that we've been doing this, you've asked me every season about your fantasy team. The first 2 fantasy teams, I wasn't in your league. The last 2, I was in your league. How have you done in those 4 years?
I will say this. The last
just plain and simple.
So
how have you done?
Answer the question.
I'm telling you, I am answering the question. The last 2 have not been that successful. The previous 2 were. Now, your mom is going to come and give me help this year. So, therefore, I'm going to win.
You can bring that. Let me tell you something, Victor. Like I said, yesterday to you, a good manager and a good supervisor always is a good listener. So if I listen to my mother, in my prior years, and I carried it through my these years now. When I was a lot younger and I listened to my mother about certain things, and including baseball, and I've carried that through to now, I was a good listener. So you get your knowledge from wherever you can get it. And if it's a favorable thing that you get it from one of your parents, it's a good thing. So, yes, my mother, not now, but my mother has instilled some knowledge into me. Which I've carried it up until this year, which has been my 60th year. So, yes, I am very appreciative of what my mother has given me in more ways than one.
She drafted your team 2 years ago. So just admit.
Don't even go there. You know what, Victor?
Anyway.
I can draft my team with my eyes closed and do better than you, without a doubt. And I proved it. I proved it more than once.
We took better than you.
I proved it more than once in fantasy football and baseball.
Here's what we're going to do. Since you got all that mouth,
And I can back it up. Reverend and I were talking about this, bragging it and backing it up.
We'll do an auto pick. You'll auto pick your team in the league. We'll go there.
No. I'm not auto pick. I don't auto pick anything.
You can draft better than me blindfolded. Therefore, blindfolded in this situation would be an auto-pick draft for you.
No.
Not to draft, but let the computer do it. Let's go. I'll put an extra 50 on that just for you. Me and you, if you auto-pick your entire team, straight up, me and you, $50. Oh, you're quiet now.
No, I'm not quiet because I'm going to just let you finish because I'm not going to let you suck me into auto-picking because
Don't need to raise it to 100, Jerry.
No, you can raise it to wherever you like.
Okay.
You can rate it to you like. If it doesn't have to do with my brain power, I'm not drafting.
It does. Auto pick. You can draft
no.
A draft
is very fluid, and a brain can roll with the punches with a draft. An auto pick computer is not the same thing. So I'd rather do it with my brain, which I know is be more effective in my opinion, than have a random pick by a computer. No way, absolutely not. You can let me put it this way: you do auto pick. I'll do me pick, and I'll still beat you. How's that?
How much you gonna pay me? How much you paying me? What's the bet?
What if you do auto pick and I pick with my brain?
Yeah.
$50. That's no problem, Victor.
No. You're gonna auto pick because you're the one that made the.
Oh no! Page. No way. That's not happening. That's not happening.
Now, Reverend.
That's not happening.
I think you need some holy water. I think you put some holy water on that sinner right there. He's gonna disintegrate in a minute because he's sinning. You can't die.
He's just sipping off some holy water this morning.
It's not happening, Victor. You're not sucking me in like that. There's no way. It's not happening.
That's all he's got to do is get it out. That's his out right there.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Exactly.
No, what you said to him?
Hey, that's your out statement by trying to get everybody to pick auto draft because you know you stink. So that's your out right there.
No. I'm not the one that made the statement. He made the statement. I was just making sure that he can back up what he was saying, and he won't, and he can't. So therefore, you know, I don't need to prove anything. He's the one that said he could do it.
Let the chips fall where they may, come this spring, soon we're going to host. We'll have to host our fantasy baseball preview show.
Right.
And we'll see what kind of knowledge you might have. I don't even know if you can spell baseball, but we'll figure it out from that point.
Victor. We do our drafts live on the air, so there is no backing down. No, we do it live on the air, buddy. So I want you to get ready for that.
Maybe put another 50 spot that maybe some of our listeners out there will probably finish higher than you.
You're going to finish higher than me.
Hey, Victor. Victor.
What?
Your own league. 4 years ago, you asked me about what I thought, and I told you. You never did it, and you finished. I don't know where you finished, but you didn't finish well.
I finished
3 years ago, you did
fifth.
The same thing. I don't know where you finished, but you didn't finish well.
I finished third.
Two years ago, what happened, Victor? I joined your league, and what happened?
I didn't finish well.
No. And what happened? 2 years ago, I joined your league.
Your mom
I was a rookie in your league.
Your
what
mom
happened?
Your mom won the championship for
you. My mom didn't win nothing. If that makes you feel better, then you can say that my mom won it. But I took the money. Let me put it that way. Anyway,
last year I just missed
the playoffs, and you finished below me again.
Let me
say it like Richie Bobby used to say: if you ain't first, you're last.
Oh my God! Really? You went Ricky Bobby?
That's all we need to say. If you ain't first, you're last.
So,
who finished eighth? Who finished ninth out of a 10-team team? Who cares?
No. So you got
the first,
big.
You're last. That's all you need. If you live your life by that Richie Bobby statement. Then you can call yourself Red Fantasy at that point.
So my question to you, both of you, you both need to understand that you are not capable of defeating me this year. Name
you
your
sure about
return.
That? I defeated you in fantasy football. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Oh really? You did this year in fantasy baseball. I mean fantasy football. But the year before that, who was your father? Me. So you won this year. You won this year. But again, I'm sending out a challenge to both of you. Both of you. I'm just going to see. I'm waiting to see who's going to accept. Will it be the old timer, or the Jimmy Swagger? I've sinned against my people, Reverend over there. I'm just waiting to see. Or you Jerry Falwell with the 700 Club? Which one are you going to be? I don't know.
So what are you talking about, Victor?
I already told you 50, old dude. I already told you that. But again, you procrastinate. I know you have Alzheimer's, but it's okay. It's okay.
Well, I'm not auto-picking, so I can outdraft you any day of the week. And it doesn't make a difference what fantasy league we're in. Doesn't make any difference what fantasy league we're in.
But you made the statement, and I want to make sure that you back up that statement. Since you're so sure of yourself,
Victor, just like Rev Fantasy said, that's your out. I'm not auto picking. I tell you that now. I've never auto picked, and never will auto pick.
I tell you what. Here's what we do. I'll let you draft your first.
Let me do nothing. That's my team.
First nine picks. And then
that's my team.
The remaining nine as auto.
No. That's my team. I pick my team. Live pick. No auto pick anywhere from me. It's never happened.
Okay.
Never happened. I'm always at my draft.
You know the rules of our league, man. It's like Fight Club. We got a couple of rules of fantasy. One, set your lineups. Two, no damn auto picking. Those are just the two rules of fantasy that you live by.
Exactly.
If you're auto picking and you don't set your lineup, then we don't get down with you.
But we'll see what happens when the draft comes and you two
no auto pick.
Clamoring for the players that I select, and once I win the championship, you all will be like, "Well, you did it," and then you'll leave it alone. There will be no bravado.
Still trying to draft Bill Strawberry, bro. What are you talking about?
What? What did you say?
I think you're still trying to draft Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry with your first second pick.
Really? Really? You better get
Victor.
You a UCL.
You've only won one championship in all the leagues that I've been in with you. One.
Hey.
One.
Hey. No. Uh-uh.
Yeah, one.
I've won several.
Parlay Palace.
Parlay Palace. And
that's
then,
it.
No. What was the other football one that I won that you were in?
No, you didn't.
High on coke. That's what league you probably won.
Reverend, there you go, there you go. I see where the church's money's going, up your nose, Reverend. No, I gotta look. Maybe you weren't in those other leagues, but...
No, exactly.
You've
only won one championship in the leagues I've been in.
Whatever, but I've been to several championships that you've been in. So, you know, I might not have won them all, but I've gone there more than you have.
Ricky Bobby.
More than you have. So let's keep that straight. So my consistency of putting up a good product is there.
I've won your baseball league. I won your football leagues. What more you want?
You've only won two leagues. But I've been in the championships of all of those leagues at least four times.
Hey, Victor.
That you've been in.
Just remember the words of Ricky Bobby.
Oh, my gosh.
You're not first, you're last.
Shake and bake, really? Okay, well,
he just came in and defecated all over the show, man. We weren't even talking about this. You just came in and just threw a monkey wrench in your whole show today.
Because I am the Magnificent.
Yeah, okay.
And you are not.
All right.
Anyway, what else do I got on tap before
The last thing I wanted to talk about was the Browns and their issues with their coaching, the head coaching, getting a head coach. They're the last team to get a head coach. So I wanted to get that, and that's why I made it last, because I wanted to get Red Fantasy's take on his team and their issues with their coaches. So
okay.
So with that being said, since we have come to the end of the show, and it's about almost 11:30, I'll give it to you, Victor, since you were the first one. Give it to you as the last one to come on the show. I'll give it to you your first dibs on what you have to finish the show with, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, as usual, if you joined in on the show, you were entertained, you were informed, and you provided some variety. You also got to see the inside of what it is we actually do. We kid, we play, we joke, we heckle each other, but it's all in fun, and the fact that I'm better, it makes it even,
really?
the best.
Really? You had to say that on my show. Really?
Why are you going to interrupt me? I mean,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Victor.
Time.
Remember, this is my show, so this is our show, so we're going to get the parting shot to you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm going to interrupt you. But anyway, the bottom line of this, ladies and gentlemen, we are champions, honestly. The Rev won a championship this year. Jerry won a few championships this year. I've won several championships. I didn't win any this year, but I'm a consistent winner, so that's fine. I'll just have to prove it again in baseball this year and upcoming football season. But again, the challenge is out there to each and every last one of you. If you want to join us in elite baseball, football, I'm not touching basketball. Just, jump in the chat room, say you want in, give us an email address, and we'll submit your name and we'll put you in. It's very simple, that easy. We do our draft live on the air. So there is no, I missed it, I was here. No, we do it live right here on the radio while we're doing the show. So there's some things that we'd like to discuss. I can recall this past football season, during one of the drafts, myself, Jerry, and Ricky were on the air doing a show, and we were, very close in picking. And all you hear was, the sound of somebody, of one of us, taking the other's player. And, great minds think alike. Some a little more than others, but nonetheless, we have a similar process. If you join one of my leagues, everything is close. There are no slouches. Even the worst teams are decent at best, because they could win anybody else's league. The scoring system is different. You got to adjust. It's not that different, but you got to adjust. You got to know your stats. Stats are king. With that being said, just gave you your money. Enjoy yourself. Red Fantasy, enjoy yourself. I'm going to go try to interview Keenan Turner. And I forgot the gentleman's name from the Oakland Raiders. But he's an old timer, and I'm going to try to get him. And I've got the mic to the man in the great Northwest.
Griff.
Okay. Hey, well, today was another fun day talking sports with you guys. We talked about a lot of knuckleheads out there, and we just talked about the root of all evil is money. So our listeners out there, we've showed some examples of some people doing some bad things, and we've also talked about some individuals that have done some good things. And just say it's another great sports day. Make sure you tune in to watch these AFC and NFC championship games today. Go Niners. All right. And hats off to my co-host, JT, and my buddy FSP for calling in, and I always like swinging a little mud with these guys, but like my man FSP said, it's all in fun and games. We are professionals, and we know what we're talking about, so please feel free to dial in and listen to us, and take what we say, and it'll make you some money down the road.
Especially if you go to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. Matter of fact, I played there today. And I'm also calling in on the FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com phone line. where winners win and players play. So go there and play today. I just wanted to throw that in here.
Okay. Just like Red Fantasy today talked about, we did talk about a bunch of knuckleheads in the beginning of the show, and we also are talking to a knucklehead at the end of the show. So, we
okay.
wanted to start the show with about knuckleheads, and we wanted to finish the show about a knucklehead. So we did that. And like I said, enjoy the games. They're going to be some real good games. We'll be talking about those on 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Thursday on the FSP Cruise Show. And I want to thank my two my co-hosts in particular. We enjoy each other going back and forth and with our opinions and enjoying the conversation. I hope you did. And when I talk to our founder at Mr. FSP, which is Vic Gardner, for always calling in and always blessing us, even though sometimes, and I say this lovingly, he can be a knucklehead. But we always enjoy him calling in on the Fantasy Sports and Casino Hotline, where winners win and players play, so we can go back and forth with him also. Enjoy the games. The games are going to be ideal matchups if you like offense in the first game, if you like defense in the second game. It's for these are two games that you are absolutely going to enjoy. I have no doubt about it. I can't wait. Time is getting near, about 3.5 hours, give or take. We'll be watching the first game, and then after that, the second game, and then we'll have our two Super Bowl contenders. Hopefully it's the Niners and the Broncos, and we'll go from there. That being said, as you know, this is the master plan. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday. We'll be back next Sunday to talk about the Super Bowl and whatever else is coming along within the NFL, NBA, or even baseball. And that's how we do it. We're out of here.
Check the music or something.
Don't worry. It is coming. It's always coming. It'll be there. Enjoy your anniversary, Vic.
Hey, and remember, if you're not first, you're last.